express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air, our way. Express yourself through art.
And welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM. This is our weekly programming covering arts and arts events in Valparaiso and throughout Northwest Indiana. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Hey, our theme music you just heard is by Billy Foster with a vocal by Renee Foster. We really appreciate them getting us our own theme music.
It's fantastic. So happy. Thank you so much.
Our underwriters for Art on the Air are Valparaiso University's Brower Museum and our landlord, Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments. Hey, if you'd like to find out more about leasing space in this wonderful historic technical building, you can call Walt at Paragon Investments at 219-462-5821. That's 219-462-5821. I'd like to thank them for the generous support. I always like to thank Greg Kovach, our station manager, for getting us on the air and helping us with all the little technical issues to get things queued up and ready to go.
The fabulous Greg.
Art in the Air is supported by a project grant from the Indiana Arts Commission through South Shore Arts and the National Endowment for the Arts. Hey, if you're interested in being a guest or send us information about your arts-related event, exhibit, and of course, we're expanding that to include theater, music, and a whole wide variety of authors. You know, we're expanding the scope of the show. Please email us at artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. That's artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. Our program, along with all of our programs, are streaming live at wvlp.org. Art on the Air is rebroadcast Mondays at 5 p.m. And if you miss the show, you can hear our show archive at our own website at breck.com/AOTA. That's Breck, that's BREC.com/AOTA. You can also see our arts events calendar, and soon you'll have a biography on your hosts on there as soon as Esther gets that to me. Yeah, we're working on that. Otherwise, I get to make it up. So,
that might be more interesting.
Our shows are being carried by WIUN Red Hawk Radio at IUN Northwest on their online closed circuit radio station. Thank them for carrying us. And, you know, this station doesn't happen by itself. You know, we're made up of a community station, and I have listeners out there, and we always need underwriters and support from individual listeners, and we're happy to have you become part of the WVLP family, especially if you listen. Esther and I would especially love it if you want to become underwriter of this particular program, Art in the Air. What a great way to get your arts event front and center. We have levels at basic underwriter levels. We'll mention you not only during our show, but throughout the broadcast day. You want to find out more about that, it's at wvlp.org/support. That's wvlp.org/support. You know, and don't be just a listener. Become a supporter, underwriter of our station, whatever amount you can. It's ever so easy. And like I say every week, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. And you'll feel so good about supporting this station and what we do with Art in the Air and the entire station operation. So now we're going to move on to our arts calendar. And I'll start with Porter County. Well, Valparaiso Center for the Arts, Brower Museum, and we have the link on our page. They just had, like most First Fridays, they had a wonderful First Friday opening with Betty LaDuke's Social Justice Revisited. Remember, Reliving, Resisting, that exhibit will be running along with Sue Hawk's The Cosmic Light Series and Mark Fletcher, The Winking Turtle, Whispering Tree. They will be having a gallery talk later this month on Wednesday, September 25th, 7 p.m. You can find details on the link on our arts events page. Later on in October, they'll also be having chamber music there and different types of things going on in the gallery. The Village at Pines Village Gallery, artist Kimberly Jensen Stout continues with her two-dimensional art through the middle of this month at Village Gallery. Information's online. Chesterton Art Center. Well, Laura Isard and Wooden Shelton opened their exhibit on Sunday, September 8th. I was there to photograph and everything, a wonderful exhibit. And also one big news change there, which we're going to have Wendy Marciniak on. Wendy Marciniak is no longer the executive director. She is now the president and CEO. We changed the bylaws and have reorganized a little bit. Now, instead of being just an executive director, she's president and CEO of the organization. We'll have her on in a couple weeks to talk about that change and some of the future at Chesterton Arts Center. Herb Helm Sunflower Water class is going on. Classes are still open. They start September 24th for 3 weeks. Stained Glass goes on. Mark Vandervine is the first of every month. He does a critique. And they have tons of new children's classes. We have two brand new children's instructors. All that information you can find find online. Art Barn. Well, the big thing coming for Art Barn is the third annual Art Blitz on the September 21st and 22nd, 11 to 5. It's an outdoor exhibition. Stuff going on. They have painting, things for kids, things for adults, music, food, artist booths, whatever.
Photographs?
You can see. We're working on that.
That's why we have to keep mentioning.
Right. Yeah. They not yet. But anyway, you can find out information on the link in our page. Depot Museum and Art Gallery. Well, they have a brand new exhibit the little on US 12 there in Beverly Shores, Painting Inside Out, Studio Plein Air by Pat Herman. Her exhibit opens on the second Friday, September 13th. Hey, that's today, Friday. So if you're listening live, you're hearing it now from 5 to 7 p.m., and that will be running through October 6th. So you can see that on a second Friday. Ellen Firm Gallery. Well, Matt Kubik, the architect, professor, and travel curator, all that, he will be also opening just down the street from there on September 13th from 5 to 8 p.m. He'll be doing some of his drawings and sculptures and scenes from Rome. So you can see that. He'll be running through the middle of October, also October 8th. Hey, the 8th Annual Hooked on Art Festival, so becoming Saturday, September 21st, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. That's at Thomas Centennial Park in downtown Chesterton. And probably the biggest event is they close down Broadway and they do a whole bunch of chalk art that's sponsored by various people there. There'll be food, booths, everything. It goes on while the European market goes on also. You can find the information on the link on our arts page website. Memorial Opera House, well, they're getting ready, geared up to do Agatha Christie's The Mousetrap. And that's going to be September 27th through October 13th. You can find out information about that. Roots Organic Cafe, the 35 photos of Ken Christensen. I just had lunch with him yesterday. He's interested in expanding how to do that. He actually operates a business of heating and cooling, and met with him on how to market his art. So I had a lunch with him. But anyway, that'll be running through October. That's at the Roots Organic Cafe in Valparaiso. And this just in, Dig the Dunes. Well, they're opening their, first of all, two things for their 2020 calendar photo. So if you have submissions, you can find that link at Dig the Dunes on their Facebook page or thing. And they're also looking for page sponsors. So if you want to sponsor an entire page, there's information about that. So that's for the Dig the Dunes 2020 calendar. Yeah, I had a picture in last
year. So how many do you submit when you submit?
I think it's limited to three.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't pull this at the very last minute this morning, so I didn't get all the details like I normally would.
No, I just meant like you. How many do you submit? Do you submit the maximum?
Yeah, we always.
Okay.
Because you never know what they like.
That's
you know,
so
it's like, and generally, they're looking for dune scenics for the most part, is what they're looking for. Not necessarily every sand dune, but things that are related to that. So that's kind of it. And that's it for Porter County.
That's a very healthy Porter County.
So, how is it going in LaPorte County?
LaPorte County, the Thaddeus C. Gallery, located in downtown LaPorte. I still don't have any information on them, but I always like to mention them. Lubesnik Center for the Arts, the Chicago Imagists, Before and After, and that exhibit runs through October 19th and is showing in all three galleries. Joel Brussel is in the NIPSCO Small Education Room for the month of September with his exhibit Little Worlds from the Big Lake. And Joel's our guest today, so I'm sure he'll be talking about lots of things, including that exhibit. Rising Phoenix Gallery, their exhibit is Petals, Waves, and Wings, the Pastels and Watercolors by Marianne Pals. SFC Gallery is exhibiting
Nathan Biancardi.
That's right, it is.
Yeah, I went to see it on the first Friday. When I was doing my opening, I quickly snuck out from
just his paintings, though, not his,
right.
Not his caricatures,
yes.
I think.
Yes.
Southern Shore Art Association, their new exhibit is titled Your Best Shot, and they exhibit from September 6th through September 29th, and it's curated by my co-host, Larry Breckner. Anything you want to say
we
had about
awards.
That exhibit?
Well, the only issue we had is that the hurricane did affect our opening. And how it did is I ordered the rosettes, and they got stuck in Florida. And they did arrive at 5:15 on Florida in my house, but the thing is my house is in Chesterton, so I didn't get them there for the award. So we got them hung up, but we presented.
Carol Estes won. And
she got Best of Show,
yeah.
Yes, for her thing. And Trent Albert was the juror, so we had about...
she's also the featured artist, right?
Yeah, she also took the featured artist up front. And we have about 13 artists and I think about 39 pieces in the show.
Excellent. Congratulations.
Thank you.
On the exhibit. Blink Contemporary Art is exhibiting the new work by Suzanne Cohen Lang and Rick Lang. Excellent small gallery. Nest is exhibiting the works of Robert Serco. His exhibit is called Me, Myself, and Eyes, and it's his recent paintings and drawings. So Saturday, September 14th is the first Writing Out Loud program starting for this year. It's the 35th year of the Writing Out Loud, and it's usually held at the Michigan City Public Library, but due to their renovations, it's going to be in the Nest. 7:30, the first author is Wade Rouse, or you probably know him under his pen name Viola Shipman. That's to honor his grandmother, whose heirlooms and family stories inspire his fiction. His novels include The Charm Bracelet, a 2017 Michigan Notable Book of the Year. The Hope Chest and The Recipe Box are some of his other novels. His latest novel is The Summer Cottage, and he recently signed a 3-book deal with HarperCollins. The Heirloom Garden will be published in April of 2020. The Every Kind of Talent Show with Captain Ambivalent at 7 p.m. is every third Saturday, so September 21st is the next one. It's open mic meets vaudeville meets show and tell. Also on September 14th is going to be a Tai Chi mindful movement meditation, I think from 2 until 4 or 5 p.m. September 22nd, we're going to have an artist talk. Greg Hertzley will be filling in for Robert Serco discussing Robert's exhibit. And for the other things, we've got a whole bunch of stuff happening in September at the Nest, so please look on our Facebook page, The Nest Michigan City, for more details. And that's it in LaPorte County.
Well, then we'll move on to Lake County. Well, today is the last day for 119th Street Artists Exhibit at the Cornerstone Gallery in Whiting. The Beyond Eye is You. So if you have a chance in the Whiting area to shoot by there, Sarah Pete Conrad, Don Diantopoulos, and Nina Latrice will be there. Their work will be there. But today is the very, very last day, and that's the last exhibit as 119th Street closes its doors and the Cornerstone Gallery is no more. Those folks will probably move on to other things and down the street, but they've been a pretty healthy group there for a while. They'll probably move down the street to Studio 659, also in Whiting. They now have Call for Art Bump in the Night. They always do that every year. That's going to be due September 20th. Kind of, you can go see what the theme is, but it's kind of Halloween theme-ish and everything. Their current exhibit, Metropolination, is still running. It's their big summer exhibit running through. It opened July 17th. It'll be running through September. It's about plants, trees, flowers that grow in the city. Think urban farming. And you can find out information on our webpage, studio659.org. South Shore Arts. Well, the Bachman Gallery, the annual salon show, will be opening very soon. It's curated by David Clayman, so they'll do that. Actually, the show will be hung September 14th, but they'll be doing an opening about 2 weeks from now. We'll have more information on that. And so that's it. Bob Pomolari still is hanging straight shooters in the Atrium Gallery. Toll Theater still has Anecdotikers Between the Real and Imagined. So you can see that at the Toll Theater in Hammond, Cafe Fresco in Crown Point. Then and Now by Joel Tomaszak. He's a nature artist based in Highland, does bird portraits. You have a final chance going to see the 61 exhibit, which is the 61st National Park. Well, who does that? Well, it's our own Indiana Dunes National Park at the Welcome Center at Kennedy Avenue in Hammond. And that will be running through September 21st. So if you haven't been there yet, they have little exhibits throughout their main area there, so you can see like Lakefront Riverwalk, things like that, and there's even a sandbox for the kids to play in. How about that? Miller Beach Arts and Creative District. Well, they have the photography of the Miller resident Martha Marty Bowen, 75 of her photographs from Nepal, India, Cuba, Morocco. It opens September 6th and be running through October 6th at the Marshall J. Gardner Center for the Arts. Information on our events page. South Lake Artist Cooperative, Slack, as they like to be called, and they're slackers. They only have a Facebook page, but you can find them that way by searching. China Cat Sunflower at the Sip Coffee House. That's about ready to close. That's in Highland. Texture at the Sip Coffee House in Crown Point. And now they have two calls for art out there. The Word, which is due 23rd. And again, you can find out the information about the details. They have creative titles. And Crackle, which is due on October 14th. So they primarily exhibit those two locations. So you can find information on their Facebook page. Theater at the Center. Well, they just opened The Pajama Game. So you can watch famous tunes like Steam Heat. Bob Fosse, Gwen Verdon actually kind of made their rise to a notoriety with that show. They'll be running through October 13th. You can find information on our site. Lakeshore Community Concerts. Well, they just opened September 12th. And, you know, I have a familiarity with them because I'm the one who brought them into Munster under the old, well, they used to be the Hammond Community Concerts, then they became Munster Community Concerts. Now they're Lakeshore. Anyway, for many, many years, I worked with them when I was there as the auditorium director. But anyway, they opened their show, Shades of Michael Bublé. And they had that opening. They have a six concert season, so it's a real bargain. It's $75. You can get six concerts and everything like that. They usually bring on great touring artists, some national, international. Find out information about that. Finally, the Northwest Indiana Symphony opening concert on September 19th and 20th is the music of John Williams. You can hear selections from his famous music from Star Wars, Indiana Jones, Jurassic Park, Superman, and many, many more. Find out information on their webpage, we have on a thing, and some lesser known works like Cinderella Liberty, which is very early in John Williams' career. So anyway, that's all we have for Lake County. Again, if you want to have your information on our show, we'd love to have you on. Again, it's Art on the Air, WVLP@gmail.com. Send us your art information. If you'd like to be a guest, tell us about what you're doing. Remember, we are booking about a month to a month and a half out, so think ahead if you
yes,
want to be
please.
On the show. So we have your current. We'd love to have Christine Small from that concert association, but anyway, we're reaching out. I know at the last regional arts commission meeting, which I'm now on, I actually spread the word about our show, so we're trying to reach out to new artists.
That's what we want.
That's what we want. Well, our guest today has lived in New Buffalo for over 20 years. He likes living close to the beach. He's dangerous for his rock collecting sometimes, especially with the lake being so high right now. You know, we might get washed out to the sea. But he's been there for a few years. He likes to shoot, serves as his photographic base camp. He holds his camera sometimes way, way out of place, doesn't even see what he's shooting until later on when he processes it. So
all with an iPhone 7.
Yes. If he gets all wet, he might be a dead iPhone 7. Mm-hmm. We'd like to welcome Joel Brussel to the show. He's also familiar with the microphone, too, with his own radio thing. We'll talk about that later. Welcome to the show, Joel.
Hey, thanks a lot. Hey. I quickly realized I'm living under a bridge when you mentioned all the things that are going on around here. Holy smokes.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
Yeah, and we probably don't.
Well, there's not much reception at the lake where you mostly are, I think.
But remember, you can stream us always at WVLP.org or go back to our past shows.
I will.
Very good. Well, so glad to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate
it. Oh, sure. And so let's we'll probably just talk a little about your background. Like where you're from, where you grew up from, schooling, how you got from where you were to where you are now.
Well, I grew up in a suburb of Chicago, Flossmoor.
My wife's dentist in there, and I always think it's a great place to have a dentist, Flossmoor.
Yeah. It's not the dental capital of the world. So the house I live in now, my father bought it for my mom as a 20th anniversary present.
Wow.
In 1964. And that was a second family house, and I came up there all the time as a kid and always loved it. So that's where I'm living now.
Okay, and that's where?
That's in Michiana Shores.
Michiana Shores,
yeah.
Okay. So you've been there for 20 years.
Yeah, about 20 years, but since I was 5 years old, and I'm not doing the math, so you can actually figure out how old I am.
Okay.
Nobody needs that information.
Well, this show is not about math, so, you know. Yeah, so we're not going to throw...
It could be, though.
Yeah, well, but we'd like to keep an arty and less mathy, so, you know. We're about STEAM, not STEM, right? Okay. And schooling, where did you go to school? And
I went to Homewood Flossmoor High School, which had, unbelievably, 1,000 people in my class. That was the days of the baby boom and all. And I think I was actually really high in the class, but not high in the class. But there's an irony in that, because I think I was number 5 in the class, and then I discovered marijuana. and then I think I quickly went the other way.
Okay.
But very surreal. We had something called the bio pond, which was some little pond where people hung out, and supposedly for scientific research, but of course it was just a drug haven like everything else in high school.
Uh-huh.
And then I went away to college. And
where'd you go?
And I started on the West Coast to get the heck out of Flossmoor, mm-hmm. University of California, San Diego, and I couldn't stand the monotony of every day being perfect. I'm actually serious about that. I realize, holy smokes, the seasons are deep inside me, and people went home to L.A. on the weekends, and it was my theory of getting far away probably backfired on me a little bit. And then I was at University of Chicago for a little bit in between schools, and then I went to an insanely liberal school out east where you basically didn't have to graduate by taking any courses, called Hampshire College. and I didn't graduate, and I took very few courses. And that was the end. I worked with a...
So what kind of experiences did you have there?
Well, I actually had interesting experiences. I had a philosophy teacher that looked like exactly like Cruella de Vil and showed up in her leather pants. And it was very, very, it was very, very interesting hypocrisy. Everybody was a Marxist, but they all had their parents' BMWs. And, so the long and short is I worked with a sort of fairly well-known anthropologist, because I was in anthropology at the time, and one day he took me aside and patted me on the shoulder and said, "I think you belong in creative writing." And that was pretty much the end of my collegiate career. So you
actually went to the School of Life more than anyway the college.
I went to School of Life. There were 5 colleges in that area, and at that point I wanted to get the heck away from college, so I moved to a place called Gloucester, Massachusetts.
Oh, I know that.
You know,
yeah.
And lived
went
on
my
the
honeymoon
ocean
there,
and knew nobody in the town, in the area, and I think that was the part where I was living in such utter isolation that I began to realize all these, quote, voices inside me were just perhaps a creative monologue that maybe I should be paying attention to.
Did you ever go to Rockport?
Oh, I lived in Rockport.
Oh, okay. We'll see
I
that.
Lived in Rockport across from Motif.
Motif One, yes, I know.
The most painted theme in the world, which seems still strange.
Yeah, I've talked about that before. I've photographed it. The whoever was like artist teaching art there, and all the people, all the students and everyone painted it. And he says, and the name came from him saying, "Are you going to paint Motif Number One?" And the name stuck. It's basically a fishing shack.
It's a fishing shack. And in fact, I had to leave Rockport when the tour buses were unloading in front of the place where I was leaving.
Yeah.
It was very cool in the off season, though. It was a beautiful, incredible area.
Yeah. Well, we spent our honeymoon and we went back there too. And but I guess that shack actually burnt down, and they completely rebuilt it.
It's now Burning Motif Number One.
Yeah, Burning Motif. Okay. But it's actually been completely restored because it's such a fixture there. So.
Right.
So do you recall writing like in elementary school too? Is that something you always had?
No, I never did that. I think that.
Or what about even in your head? I mean, like because your stories are a lot about your family, and so all that's happening while you're a little kid. Are you formulating? I mean, is that the way you were thinking, even though you weren't writing it, maybe?
I think I was observing it really intensely, and I thought everybody did that, and I thought everybody had the same stories, and I thought everyone was sort of this monolith that had the same.
You have such rich stories.
When I lived alone in Gloucester, the middle of nowhere, I started to come up with some interesting ideas about what people do to fill emptiness. Mm. And maybe that's kind of creativity. It's almost like it can be a panic, but perhaps a productive panic, if that makes any sense.
Yes,
well, you know,
does.
We should probably hear an example of a story. Why don't you tee up what the story's about?
This is a story about my uncle. It's really called A Character to End All Characters. And let's just leave it at I have a pretty colorful family.
Okay, here we have Joel Brussels' story, Uncle.
What does a man leave behind? An inadvertent mosaic of schemes? Stories of the crooked flesh? The certainty of his laugh? The crackle of his smile? How do you reconcile all those he swindled versus his kindness to you?
Oop-dee-doo, oop-dee-doo. I hear a polka and my troubles are through. This kind of music is like heaven to me.
Do you dismiss it by the fact he was blood? My uncle was a slumlord in Chicago. Like some kind of gone-off celebrity, he appeared on the cover of several community papers. You know, that guy that would shut off tenants' heat according to his cash flow? Gone-off is a word in Yiddish, literally meaning a thief or dishonest person. He didn't believe in paying bills. He liked to sue people instead. He liked to say he lunched daily with the IRS.
Oop-dee-doo, oop-dee-doo. I hear a polka and my troubles are through. Oop-dee-doo, oop-dee-dee. This kind of music is like heaven to me.
Weighing about 350 pounds, his hunched-over posture made Quasimodo look like he had attended charm school. Complimenting my uncle's graceless stoop was a warm, toothless smile. His dentures came from some discount house, and sometimes he would like to take them out, showing them to you and brag about the deal he got on them. He was a chronic diabetic, living many years beyond what any doctor said he would. Instead of jelly beans, he had very large jars of Darvon or other medication he really didn't need, but the pharmacist at Walmart, according to him, a close friend, gave him a good price. At every get-together, even if we were in perfect health, he would ask us, "How are you guys set for painkillers?"
Oop-dee-doo, oop-dee-doo. I hear a polka and my troubles are through. Oop-dee-doo, oop-dee-dee. This kind of music is like heaven to me.
In World War II, he served in the Navy and mailed back parts of his ship from the Philippines so he could later resell them here in the States. When it came to his sense of humor, he was a god to me. After my father died, my uncle went with us to the funeral home to help us get through this and facilitate things. At one point, the funeral director asked us what vault we wanted. One was, quote, guaranteed for eternity not to leak. The other, less expensive in price. My uncle chimed in, "Give them the cheaper one. Come on, let's get on with it." The funeral director reminded him, "Well, if you remember, Mr. Tobus, when we buried your father, you chose the deluxe version, guaranteed for eternity, not to leak." Without missing a beat, my uncle said, "That was just to make sure he couldn't get out." For 20 minutes, we laughed, unable to answer any of the funeral director's questions. Then it was time to pick out a coffin in their showroom, and my uncle said to my brother, "Come on, boys, let's go to the happy room." It just kick-started the laughter again.
Oop-dee-doo, oop-dee-doo. I hear a polka and my troubles are through. Oop-dee-doo, oop-dee-dee. This kind of music is like heaven to me.
Every time he went out to dinner with my parents, he would pick up the check and say, "I want to take this home to study it. You pay for it now and I'll reimburse you later." His favorite restaurant was a Polish smorgasbord on the north side where the colors of the macaroni and green beans were visible from 100 yards off. I still have a tan from the heating lamps above the fried chicken. Once in the 1960s, he found a deal on pocket AM radios. So he bought 100 of them and continued to give them as gifts for the next 10 years. He also loved to give broken cameras. If you called him up to tell him the camera didn't work, he would tell you, "It worked fine yesterday, just monkey around with it." He had a toy poodle that liked to masturbate at any coat you left around his apartment. So I tried to remember to never take anything nice to his place. I remember thinking I should have a special Goodwill coat just to wear to his house. On occasion, I might forget and wear it out to a bar to meet some friends, and they would say, "Dude, isn't that that poodle masturbating coat?"
Oop-dee-doo, oop-dee-doo. I hear a polka and my troubles are through. Oop-dee-doo, oop-dee-dee. This kind of music is like heaven to me.
My uncle spent some time in the big house for insurance fraud, a pleasant way of saying arson. Luckily, nobody was hurt in the fire, and of course my uncle claimed he was innocent, which these days is such a cliche it seems like an admission of guilt. I did visit him there a few times at the low-security prison, which reminded me very much of my junior high. Strangely, I ran into my high school French teacher, who was visiting her brother for attempting to sabotage a nuclear power plant. My uncle liked to boast in prison of being related to my dad, a respected judge, and that would make my all-too-proud mom cringe. At one point in his life, he had hired a private detective to find out who his wife was having an affair with. At the same time, he was having a fling with a checkout woman at Jewel. His young sons at the time were always puzzled while there'd be several empty checkout lines, but they would go to the same one even if there was a long line.
Oop-dee-doo. I hear a polka and my troubles are through. Oop-dee-doo, oop-dee-dee. This kind of music is like heaven to me.
Whenever he had a barbecue, he would seriously undercook the meat to the point it was so raw nobody would want to eat it. Inevitably, it would result in a fight with one of his four wives. "Stan, this meat is so raw, we can't eat it." "It's fine, I tasted it, it won't kill you." I guess he was right, nobody died. The last few times I saw them, we would hit the dollar store where we would try and pick up women by asking them what something cost. If there was a 16th chapel of cons, angles, and schemes, then my uncle breathed it, designed it, painted it, and probably sold 100% ownership to 12 different people at the same time. Even if I was one of those people, I don't think I would have loved him any less.
Oop-dee-doo, oop-dee-doo. I hear a polka and my troubles are through. Oop-dee-doo, oop-dee-dee. This kind of music is like heaven to me.
And that was Uncle by Joel Russell telling some stories about himself. You're listening, by the way, to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and being rebroadcast at WIUN Red Hawk Radio. So that's a very interesting story, and I love the polka interludes in there.
It seemed strangely appropriate.
So this was a real person that you described.
Oh, this is, yeah. You know, I didn't make up one thing in that story. You know, really, there's I don't even think there's embellishment.
Well, you have a great storytelling thing, which brings us to you've done radio. So this is not being behind the microphone is not an unfamiliar thing. So tell us a little bit about you're not doing it currently, the way I understand it, or you're...
No, I'm not doing it currently. I did a show for a couple years at the Three Oaks radio station called the I Hate Poetry Hour Half Hour, which was, I don't know how to describe it, almost like stream of consciousness characters inside my head. And, you know, I talk about my uncle and my aunt, who almost puts him to shame. I had ongoing things. There was the Adventures of Litigation Man, who is a guy who sues everybody and everything, including the ambulance driver for driving too fast, who he's chasing because he develops knee problems. And it was just kind of off the cuff, fun to do. Not too much structure, as many things in my life. And then I was also part of a show called Few with a View, where it's just a bunch of us kind of sitting around BSing about things. And it was interesting. One was scripted and written. And the other with just wigging it, and kind of like both.
Okay. And how long did you do that?
Both of those, like maybe 2-3 years.
Okay. And when did you stop doing it? Just recently?
Oh, no. It was about 6-7 years ago. And then in the course of that, I was doing some stuff in WBEZ, a little bit sort of like satiric essays and kind of things and political stuff, kind of here and there, sort of filler things. So it was for someone who has no idea what he's doing pretty much in every facet of his life, it was good just faking it.
Well, is there an archive of any of those things that people can listen to?
You know what's funny about that? I don't think the station has it archived, but I have a good friend, because I know my system of organization. Every time I recorded a show, I'd go to his house and give him a CD. And I think somewhere in his closet, he has 95 shows of the I Hate Poetry Hour Half Hour. And one of these days, I'm going to go back and grab all those shows and see what
you could
really
put that up on your as part of your website and everything.
Yeah, it would be interesting. I mean, I still do have all the original files and things, but probably not some of the shows I have. But he's my...
he's your archivist.
He's my archivist, yeah. And we'd go over there, have a beer. I'd hand him the CD. And we just hope that his dog wouldn't jump on him and that they'd remain.
So with your art, because I met you when you were doing Petoskey Stones and Poetry Shadow Boxes. And so can you kind of, and so then you have the writing. So can you give us an arc sort of the progression to how now it's
in
like photography?
Case, I think it's like a bad inverted rainbow. But the rock collecting habit, as you know, on the beach was, I was finding credible fossils. This is all within a few blocks where I lived. And I did this, and in those days when the lake was back, I could hike for miles and miles all the way down to different areas. It was really nice. And I would come back and I'd bring back too many stones, as you're aware of. And eventually my floor ended up looking like, 350 million years ago. One day, as Esther knows, when you look at rocks, when you're a heavy-duty rock collector, you always look down because you're trying to see what's there. And I think I told you this story. Oddly enough, there's an area called Forest Beach, which is a very ritzy sort of exclusive community, and they had sort of incredible fossils there for whatever reason. And oftentimes I'd go there, the people ended up calling the police, because I realized that if you bring a backpack anywhere in public and you're walking around, I guess you look like a homeless person. Right? And one day there was one person on the beach, a woman was sunbathing, and that was like 500 yards away, and I was going around looking for fossils. And I got so involved in it that looking down that at one point I was right on top of her and almost stepped on her literally, and which would have been a hard one to explain to the police.
Right.
You know, just to say I'm very involved in looking for rock. Well, at that point, I started looking up instead of looking down. And that's when I realized it was always very peaceful and therapeutic and wonderful. But at that point, it sort of started photography for me, realizing there were some really incredible perspectives and things I was seeing. So that's where the photos began. Mm-hmm. And the rock collecting's not dead, but pretty much all the same places I went for rock collecting, I go for photography.
And you're using an iPhone.
Using an iPhone 7 Plus.
Exclusively.
Yeah. And I have to say that I'm pleasantly surprised, because when I first started researching it, and they said you can't make things bigger and there's all these limitations. But there's something about the familiarity and the ease of it, and the fact I can put it in like a crevasse where there's ice forming, right, and its thinness, and so I've gotten very, very used to it. I'm always tempted to look at the better cameras, but I think for now, stick with that.
Yeah.
And I can get very, very weird angles.
Oh, you know, sure.
You could get with a camera, it'd be tougher. Plus the fact I trash a camera, take it to the water. Now I'm putting the iPhone in the water and shooting. So right. While you could do a camera, it'd be tougher for me to do.
This is true. You don't want to put, when I think about my thing with the long lens on it, you know, you've got like $6,000 worth of camera there.
I mean, if I had the camera in my house, it'd probably have corned beef and mayonnaise and mustard on it. So you can imagine what I would do at a beach with sand and water, you know.
Yeah, and sand.
I mean, that's just knowing your own limitations.
And sand is the big enemy of camera.
Sand has got to be a giant
enemy.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a whole new learning curve, too. You've got this, you know, you're expanding on this one.
I don't want to start new with a whole new camera learning curve. But in that, you know, I've always done, to a certain extent, writing. I've always thought, like, I'm too visual a writer. I think images come first before the words. So maybe, ultimately, photography's a better kind of expression for me. But I'm not sure there's one without the other.
I would say... That's true. It would be a very sad world if we didn't have your stories.
Have you mixed the mediums, like, for example, photographs, and then use writing to describe something?
So I've started to think a lot about doing that in terms of performances, and I think that's coming down the road.
That's the next step.
That may be the next step, yeah.
Sort of the Petoskey Stones in poetry
now. Well, of course, Esther saw that, yeah. You know, that was like a harebrained marketing scheme. You know, the idea of what can be marketed is, you know, I'm usually only off by 10,000 degrees,
right.
You know. So at that point, I was finding rocks and I was putting them in shadow boxes and I was showing them to Esther, and they had little sayings on them, pieces of poems. And I probably have a few of those still in storage if anyone is interested.
You can put them on sale at the Nest. So.
That's true.
Well,
that's
what true. I read one statement. What puts kibble in the bowl?
Well, that's always a bit of a struggle for me. I had a business. I still have a part of a very small business that found vintage Herman Miller chairs. And I still have a partner in Valpo, and she sells these much bigger and sells them overseas. I buy used stuff at auction sometimes, but I have fortunately a pretty modest lifestyle. So right now I'm hoping that photography is eventually the answer to that. So I better take your marketing thing you mentioned earlier. I thought I'd need to do that. So we'll see. I put a lot of energy into that. Hopefully that gets there over time.
I know the gentleman I met with yesterday, you know, he has a business. And I said, well, you know, it's not like you can go from A to B and make a bunch of money.
Yeah, said, overnight.
I said, because, you know, I've been doing photography since, well, actually most of my life, but really seriously since the 90s. And, you know, luckily, fortunately, I'm retired, so I have an income.
Right.
So photography doesn't have to support. So it's nice to sell things. Like I just sold 4 pieces and a $600 sale to a gentleman.
That's very good, yeah.
So
yeah, it's kind of, I think, that sort of henpecked kind
of existence,
exactly. Right? And, you know, and whether it'll catch or not is always, I think it's about as fluky as a viral video.
It is. Right? It very much is. And, you know, sometimes like you can, what I get some money from is like licensing the work, like for different people. Right. But that's still very haphazard. It happens like in 2014, one of my pieces was part of the Indiana tourism campaign, and that was like big. But, you know, but then again, you don't necessarily license that much. So
I guess, come to think of it, I have put some words with video because I've done some kind of wacky YouTube-y kind of videos.
They're fun, yes. Different spoofs and things.
Yeah, and some of that came out of, I did a CD, which with that Uncle pieces on, that was called Misspoken Word.
Oh, okay. And, is that available anywhere? Or is it?
You know what? I think it might still be on CD Baby in the insanely discounted basement bin or something.
it might be a collector's item.
I was going to say, if I get hit by a bus on the way home, it might actually be worth $3 instead of $2. But out of that, I took some of the pieces and made videos.
These can be seen on YouTube.
Yeah. I think it's under, I use the name Spent Cattle, but I think it's under my name.
Okay.
If you do, there's a piece in there I do a spoof on a Calvin Klein commercial called Nervous, about the feeling you get when you nearly knock over a bottle. And there's Chop Suicide Hotline, which was about someone who, when the suicide hotline number got confused with a Chinese restaurant. And these were sort of, some of these are regular bits on the radio show.
If a butterfly flaps its wings, a polar bear gets a hernia.
I totally forgot that one. I think the most recent stuff, and I want to get back to it, is really fun, is about the adventures of Irving, the retired water skiing squirrel.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Who hits hard times after, you know, he's sort of a twiggy
right, I remember.
Kind of character and ends up having to do the bar mitzvah circuit and all that. So it's somewhat absurd, you know. But that might be the only sort of marriage of words and images I've done so far. But
now, if someone wants to view your photography, where do they go to do that?
I have a website, brusselphotography.com.
Okay.
And I've just had a radical update by my website person. Who I discovered, and I don't know if you go through this, Larry, because you probably do your own stuff.
I do my own website, okay. Yeah.
It's wonderful having a friend that will do your website complimentary, but you do have to hear the dramas of their life before you can actually get them to put it in, which goes with, but I just had, I put a ton of new images on there because I'm doing a lot that I'm calling, this is my attempt at marketing, I'm calling Savage Sunsets.
Okay.
And it's a lot of sunsets shot through rough water and hopefully a new way of looking at sunsets. So all that's on there.
Yeah, and you're also experimenting with different mediums to put your photographs on, like metal and...
Right, printing. And actually, Larry is very helpful turning me onto some labs and, you know, do that sort of metal and acrylic. I think I'm leaning towards metal more than acrylic.
Metal for the type of images you do, I think, really brings out the detail because it's very close and tight. I know I'm still loving my canvases, but there are some images I have that really render well on metal.
Yeah.
They pop, especially black and white. You know, monochrome things are really pop a lot of times.
Yeah, I'm going to try more black and white. I mean, I've tried the color, but very interesting how you end up with a... I like the fact that the print is ready to go as opposed to having to frame and do everything.
That's one reason I really love my the canvases, the canvas gallery wraps, because they're ready to go. And now some of them do want the float frames, but I said, well, I can provide that at a extra cost. But I said, most of the stuff I exhibit are those, and they're ready to go. You get them back, and you don't have to worry. And the one thing I always found with exhibiting matted frame photos after several exhibits, your frames get dinged and everything, and really it's then hard to resell them.
I'm very familiar with that. Esther was gracious enough to give me a wonderful show at her gallery, and I wanted to hire like Allied van lines to take them home because I just ding everything, so unless I can turn them into abstract art, which is
ultimately
a crush frame with velvet or something like that.
You're listening to Joel Brussel on Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and also heard on WIUN Red Hawk Radio. So tell us about some of your exhibits, past and then also future.
Okay, well, the current one is at the Nipsco Gallery at the Lebesnik Center.
Which I just had one a couple months ago with Nathan Barakani.
Right. And
that's, yeah. Through the Area Artists.
Through the Area Artists. Yeah, I'm part of the Area Artists, as is Larry. And great group, by the way.
Yeah, they are.
Really enjoying it. Lots of talented people.
Very talented people.
Lori was just a total angel that helped me hang the show that I've actually never done.
Oh, okay.
So I was trying to, she was teaching me these formulas, and I was nodding my head pleasantly and hopefully learned a few things. I have a show in October in Chicago through a architecture gallery.
Okay.
In Skokie. And that's going to be, opening is going to be on the 26th. The gallery is called A3 Architects, A&C Architecture.
Okay.
And that show is called The Songs of Erosion. And it's going to have a lot of the same images that I had at Esther's show. But it's about really a set of boulders.
Okay.
That happened to be thrown in front of a house where I live in the water to prevent erosion with all the high lake levels. And I was sort of able enough to get them through different seasons, you know, shooting ice, shooting sunsets through water splashing, and some other images, and it's going to be about that.
Oh, very good.
That is in Skokie. That was an interesting story because the guy, the owner of the gallery said, well, you're responsible for the non-kosher food, and I'm going to have the kosher food. And immediately I flashed to a Seinfeld episode where, right, you know, it's probably going to be something like, I'm going to grab a potato chip on the non-kosher table, and I'm going to dump, and I'm going to put it in the dip of the kosher table, and everyone's going to be running out screaming, and that'll be the end of my art career that never even actually began. So,
and there's a whole story right there.
There's a whole story right there. But that's a cool space. And beyond that, I'm talking to different people and for next year, hopefully.
So you're learning to market yourself.
Learning to market myself. I would like to have a show of just the sunsets of a large gallery with just a big collection of the Savage sunsets.
Did you submit anything to the Salon show?
I am totally ashamed because I actually was in the Salon show last year, and I just absolutely spaced on it. Mm-hmm. And I looked at the notice of when they're opening, and I went, oh my God, was I an idiot? You know, which
I submitted this year. I was in last year, and I guess they had almost 400 submissions.
Wow, well, so that doesn't surprise me. It's a nice show.
It's a nice show, and it's really tough to get in sometimes. And it's also a crapshoot, because depending on who's the curator, you know, whether they like or dislike your work. So.
Right, and I'm you know, this is one of the things that's really good to me about the Area Artists, is I'm learning, you're talking to different people and hearing the stories, and you know, realizing when you exhibitions, there's upsides and there's downsides. Sure. And of course, with photography, you have to print everything, and it can get in frame and get very expensive.
Well, and I just taught someone how to price their things. The conversation I had yesterday, he said, well, I don't know.
Did you record that by any chance?
No, but I can tell you, here's my formula.
Okay.
Is generally speaking, my 20 by 30 canvases without a frame cost me about $40 without shipping. So rounded up to about $50. So what I do is then I double the price, $100. Now, what do I want to make on that piece that I pocket? Because I always think of that as the replacement cost for that piece. You know, I print it, someone buys it. Now I have that money to replace it with another piece or that same piece. Then I add like, okay, what do I want to pocket out of that? So maybe it's usually like $30, $40. So now it's up to $140. Then I say, now the gallery's going to take their piece. So I just take it to 180. Mm-hmm. So that's my pricing model on a piece.
I'm sure everybody has sort of, how do you figure in the throwing out your back when you're actually lugging the pieces? What is that worth?
Well, next year I'll be on Medicare, so I'll find out. So.
Let me know.
So that's the nice thing about those pieces too, is they're very light. You can carry four of them.
It's true.
And you put them back to back and they won't hurt each other.
But you're so right about it becomes like a one prolonged Jerry Lewis movie about taking frame pieces, which I really like, and you look fantastic at your show, but the more you move them around, they become this sort of diminishing value based on...
Well, but that's why they make those cardboard corners that really do protect those
edges. I'm learning. I've got some boxes and things, so I'm getting there. But if you know me naturally, as you do, you know, if there's one place to run into... You know, if there's 80 yards off to the right and there's a statue of something I'm putting in my car, I'll walk around the statue, ding them, and put them in the car. That's just kind of the nature.
Well, and it's also out of your hands sometimes. Sometimes you get it to the gallery. I know I have a beautiful piece that's a frame piece that I actually used in a show, but has a scratch on the front of the thing, and I didn't do it, you know, and it's like, and the frame was quite expensive, and I didn't actually catch it till I actually brought it home. And went,
but I did learn the magic marker trick recently.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
you know,
magic
for
marker.
Black frames.
Oh, yeah.
Sharpies in all colors.
That Sharpies true. Can that's fix true. A lot of things, so that's, yeah.
I need a Sharpie for life, if anyone knows what that term is.
Yeah, Sharpies are kind of in the news right now anyway, so.
That's true. That's very true.
And so we've been really lucky over the last few months to have Joel tell stories during the Every Kind of Talent show, and we have another thing coming up with Roger Batten on October 3rd, My Path Storytelling Open House. So we're hoping that you keep that in mind, too.
I will. Yeah, the Captain Ambivalent is very cool, very creative, and it's really great show.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and we've had him on the show. It's a great thing to have once a month, and kind of to let people let their hair down and just do like an old vaudeville type thing.
I will say you never have the same crowd.
I know, it's so true. Yeah. It's so true. You think that there would be a few. Luckily, we've had a few dedicated performers who come. Mike Owens, I'm always happy. He plays the slide guitar. He's so amazing. He gets better and better every month as he relaxes more into it, you know, and realizes he has a fan club there.
And it's really good for me because I'll go into the guilt thing about, like, you know, I've written a lot, I recorded a lot, but I want to do new things. You know, it's a good incentive to...
Yeah, I love it. I look so forward to you being there every month.
Even when I'm looking at Esther in the audience and she's the only one laughing, okay? And I'm realizing, like, you know, it's like, am I at the 1920s burlesque club and everybody's bombing? But it's wonderful.
That's how the original burlesque was. Not what most people think is a strip show, but the right. original burlesque.
I know, that's what I was modeled it after.
Yeah, you have the comedian out there, and then you have the cooch dancer in back, and he was telling very bad jokes, and they were all laughing because of what she was doing. So, unfortunately, burlesque then degenerated into just strip club, and that's really was never what the original right. burlesque was.
And then at her thing, I realized, you know, I'd probably do better as the cooch dancer than the actual stores.
Well, I would pay money to see that. That'd be interesting.
Pay money not to see it.
That'd be interesting.
But it is really, it's a really cool venue. And changing all the time, I think.
All the time.
And I'm thinking a lot now about interactive images and performance.
Yes, I hope so, because that's how I set it up.
Right.
So.
Are you looking for serious readings and things also? Or?
Well, we always, it's a mix. Always.
It's a mix of things.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, and I do some
the storytelling
serious
is very
stuff.
Serious. Yeah. Yeah, you're very serious when you're telling your stories.
Yeah.
So yeah, if I'm doing, if
he's,
I'm
even
doing,
if it's like hilarious, he's very serious.
If I'm doing comedy, no one's laughing. If I'm doing, you know, serious, pour out your heart, soul confessionals, everybody's on the floor.
Well, if it's like the uncle thing, I mean, that's extremely hilarious, even though it's also kind of thought provoking. You know, hearing that piece.
Yeah, there's a lot of family. You know, and as I was listening to that, and you're asking me, I just realized I've been so bombarded with those things through life, you can't help but to tell a story. You know, it's just like I'm the court reporter.
Right.
So it isn't like I'm, in that sense, creating much. I'm more just reporting.
Very good. So, you know, you're exploring photography. You're doing things. Tell us what your vision for the next, you know, few years you're going to do, if you have that.
Yeah, I'm really fascinated in photography about, just call them accidents.
Okay.
And getting in a really beautiful setting, like a, you know, like a sunset. It's not like you're in a drive-by shooting and things are going to go terribly wrong. So my kind of new formula is just get part of a profoundly beautiful spot and hope a little of it you're able to capture.
Right.
And
he has the advantage with using an iPhone of taking that into places that we can't,
right.
You're not going to take a, you know, $3,000 camera to shoot because just the physical size of it.
Well, yeah. And also it's like what was the somewhere else of being here. And it really, it defies being part of this planet. Some of those pictures you go, where could this have been? And to think it's just in Michiana Shores, it's really phenomenal because.
I think that as I get older, you realize, like, boy, use your extreme limitations to your advantage. And in fact, with the iPhone, it's terrible for telephoto, you know, any kind of distance. So while I can pull it off sometimes with sunsets, for other things, you have to get really close and into the thing. And you can almost, I can almost get like a sort of tunnel vision of getting really close to something. And then I look later and realize, okay, that's really interesting. So, and I guess one of the purposes is, like you said, trying to get a snapshot of a world and figuring out where the heck it is.
Yeah.
For this show in Chicago, the image I took, which is one of the images of your show, of the icy boulders, and I decided I was going to call it Woolly Mammoth Cocktail.
I know,
hour.
That's it.
Because it's a cool feeling to be somewhere and not be able to figure out where, sort of the same time. So that's...
Where or what it is, sometimes.
Where or what it is, yeah. And with the sunsets, I wanted to get more and more abstract, maybe sort of barely.
So the two that you sent me yesterday, mm-hmm. was that the same image, just manipulated?
Are, no,
or two different images?
No, those are two different images, okay. Both in the water. Mm-hmm. Both at water level. One was when the camera's getting splashed.
Yeah.
And the other was just above the water.
Mm. So beautiful.
So, you know, I have a very loose idea of what I'm doing at the time, but I'm more just get in it and see what happens.
Do you do any post-processing?
I do. I use Lightroom.
Okay.
But I'm not... I don't really, I might enhance the light a little bit.
Right.
I don't really radically change stuff. But I'm learning that. I have to learn it much better because I just have the sort of, I think Photoshop is too daunting for
it
me.
It really isn't.
I actually prefer
Photoshop.
Yeah, I know you can do a ton more. You know?
And well, what I don't like about Lightroom is that it wants to import and file all your things. I'm going, No, I have my own file system. Thank you. I just want to work on a piece.
Well, I'll never have my own file system.
So Lightroom is good for you.
Well, I thought it was in a shoebox at your friend's house.
Yeah, even a shoebox is beyond my filing capabilities.
Wow. Any final thoughts? We're about ready to wrap up here in about 1 minute.
No, just thanks for having me. And Esther's doing incredible. Incredible
it's too
stuff.
Fast.
It did
really,
went too
we need
fast.
An hour and a half.
At her gallery, and Larry, you're doing wonderful stuff. And,
well, thank you.
And thank you for having
thank
me.
Thank you. You know,
we really appreciate it. So that was Joel Brussel. His next exhibit is at the ANC Architects Gallery in Skokie, Illinois. It's called The Songs of Erosion. That's going to be opening October 26th. It'll be running through January. So if you get up to Skokie, you can have some kosher and non-kosher food, and they might get mixed up there by Joel.
By Joel.
I'll be responsible probably for closing the gallery.
There you go. You've been listening to Art in the Air. We'd like to thank Joel for coming in today, and what a great program we had. We hope you enjoyed it. Art in the Air is heard Friday at 11 a.m. and rebroadcast Mondays at 5 p.m. Your hosts are Larry Breckner and Esther Golden, and we'd like to always thank Greg Kovach, WVLP station manager, getting everything set up for our show today and making sure we're running okay.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Greg.
Our underwriters for Art in the Air are Valparaiso Brower Museum and our landlord, Walt Breininger of Paragon Investments. Art in the Air is supported by the Indiana Arts Commission Project Grant and the National Endowment for the Arts. If you're interested in being a guest, send us information about your arts-related event. Again, that's artontheair@gmail.com. That's artontheair@gmail.com. Next week, we have Michael Celich on, a classic artist who's a professor at the Art Academy for Art in Chicago, and he's coming out with a new book that he illustrated about adopting a puppy, and it's a wonderful thing he's doing book tour, so we'll see him. So next week, we'll see you right here at 103.1 FM, Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a great week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the Air today. Stay in the know. And show the world your heart. Express yourself through art. And show the world.